B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Psachim Daf Nun. We're going to start the Mishnah, four lines from the bottom of the Omud. We're going to start the new Perek, Perek Mokim Shenohagu. Says the Mishnah, Mokim Shenohagu la'asos melacha ba'arvei Psachim ad chatzos. Those places where they had a custom that they would do melacha, they would do work on Erev Pesach before chatzos, oisin, if that was the custom, then in those places it was permitted to do work. And the Mishnah clearly wrote the words ad chatzos to impress on us that after chatzos, no one is allowed to do any work, and that's not dependent on a custom, it's actually osur. And in that aspect, it's actually no different to any other Erev Shabbos or Erev Yom Tov that we try and avoid doing melachos after chatzos. And the Gemara is going to discuss that even without the word ad chatzos, we would know that we're talking about before chatzos, because after chatzos, Erev Pesach is not unique. If we have a Mishnah here discussing Erev Pesach, it must be discussing before chatzos. The Gemara is going to ask that. But either way, in the places that before Chatzos on Erev Pesach, the custom was to do work, one was allowed to do work. Mokim shenoagu shaloi lasos, those places where the custom was not to do any work on Erev Pesach before Chatzos, ein oisin, then one is not allowed to do any work there. And Rashi explains the reason that those places had the custom not to do work was because a person would get carried away with his work. He would forget to dispose of his chometz. He would forget possibly to make arrangements for shechting the Korban Pesach. He would forget to arrange to have his matzahs ready. We know there's a mitzvah to make sure to do all the preparations on Erev Pesach so that we can start the Seder immediately at the earliest possible time so the children shouldn't fall asleep. We're going to learn about that on Daf Kuf Tes. And therefore, there were some places that did not allow people to do other work on Erev Pesach, even before Chatzos. Continues the Mishnah. Ha'hoylech mimokim she'oisin lemokim she'ein oisin. If a person was in a place where the custom was yes to do melachos on Erev Pesach in the morning, and he went to a place where the custom is not to do melachos, or vice versa, oy mimokim she'ein oisin lemokim she'oisin, then the halacha is noisnin olav chumrei mokim sheyotze misham v'chumrei mokim sheholach lesham. We give him the stringencies of both the places that he left and the places he's arrived to. And if on any one of them the custom was not to do melachos on Erev Pesach, even in the morning, then he's not allowed to do the melachos. V'al yeshane odom, a person should not change and deviate from the minig. B'pnei ha-machleikas, we don't want him to do anything different to the place that he's in. And this is very much understood. If he went from a place that they were allowed to do work to a place that you're not allowed to do work, then he should not do work. He should be machmir. He should be stringent like the place he's arrived and not be different in order to avoid machlekas. The other way around, when you went from a place where they did not do melachos on Erev Pesach to a place where they did do melachos, and he's going to get the chumras of the mokim sheyotza misham, the stringencies of the place he left, and he is going to do a melacha, that's going to be different. That means he's not going to do melacha in a place where everyone else is doing melacha, then that stringency of the place that he left is going to be different to the custom of the place where he's arrived at. And then there could be a machlekas, and the Gemara is going to discuss that. And now the Mishnah says, Kiyetza boy, a similar concept we find regarding the halachas of Shemitah. Shvius, we know that in the Shemitah year, one's allowed to take the fruits, the vegetables, one's allowed to take from the fields into his house on one condition. All the while that the animals, the chayus in the fields, still are able to find similar fruits or vegetables, then a person is allowed to bring them into his home. If, however, the time has come that those particular food items are no longer available in the fields, then from that point on, there's a requirement to remove those food items from his home, be mafkir them, to give up the ownership on them, and make them hefker, you have to remove them. So the question is, what happens if somebody took fruits from a place that mimokim shekolu, from a place where these food items had already been finished, they were already been used up and depleted, lemokim shelo kolu, And he took these fruits, these food items, to a place where in that new place they were still available to the animals. Or he brought those fruits from a place where they had not yet been finished to a place where those food items had already been finished. And in both those cases, chayev levayer, he has to be stringent and he has to dispose of those food items. Rabbi Yehuda says no. You can also go and get fruits, or this food item from the place where it's available, so why should I have to dispose of them? And the Gemara is going to discuss this at length. Says the Gemara, my iria arve psochim, why afilu arve shabosis v'arve yomim tovim nami. And this is the question that we mentioned when we read the Mishnah. The words ad chatzois are coming to impress on us that after chatzois, everybody says you're not allowed to do work, and it's not dependent on the minik hamokim, on the custom of that particular place. Well, why does the Mishnah have to say ad chatzois? If the Mishnah tells us that there's a time of the day on Erev Pesach, and that's unique to Erev Pesach, that not doing work is dependent on the custom, everybody knows it's before Chatzos, because after Chatzos, every Erev Shabbos and every Erev Yontov, the same halacha applies. My iria arve psochim, as far as after Chatzos is concerned, there's no difference between Erev Pesach, afilu arve shabbosos v'arve yomim tovim nami, or any Erev Shabbos or Erev Yontov is also osa. The Tanya, as we saw in a brisa, ha'oseh melacha ba'arve shabbosis v'yomim tovim. If somebody does a melacha on erev Shabbos or erev Yontov, min ha'mincha ulamayla, from the time of mincha and beyond, einei roeh siman bracha l'olam, he's not going to see any blessing in his work. So if so, I don't need the Mishnah to say the two words ad chatzos. And the Gemara is going to give two answers. Number one, hosom min ha'mincha ulamayla hu da'osor. Regarding an average or any other Erev Yom Tov and Shabbos, then min ha-mincha ulemayla, it's only osur from the time of mincha. Mincha gedoyla is 6.5 hours into the day. If it's mincha ketano, it's 9.5 hours into the day. That's dependent on different versions in Rashi. However, samuch l'mincha loy, but before the time of mincha, whether you understand it's before 6.5 hours or before 9.5 hours, there's no iser. Hocha, however, on erev Pesach michatzois, from chatzois it's osur for everyone. That means there's two. The Mishnah is coming to press on us on two halachas. Number one, doing melacha before chatzois is dependent on the custom, and after chatzois is osur everywhere. Only because it's Erev Pesach. If it wouldn't be Erev Pesach, it's only also from the time of Mincha. Inami, another possible answer. Hosom simen bracha hu deloy chozi. On every Erev Shabbos and Erev Yom Tov, he won't see any blessing in his work. Aval shamute lo mishamtinon lei. They wouldn't excommunicate somebody who's working on Erev Shabbos or Erev Yom Tov even in the afternoon. Hocha, however, on Erev Pesach, if somebody is doing those melochas that are osa, shamute nami mishamtinon lei, they would even excommunicate him as a penalty for doing a melocha on Erev Pesach after Chatzos. And here again, the Mishnah is impressing on us the two halachas of Erev Pesach, that the melacha on before Chatzos is dependent on the custom, after Chatzos, or late on in the afternoon, it's so severely also that somebody who transgresses that will be excommunicated. Every other Erev Shabbos and Erev Yom Tov, he won't see any blessing in his work, but he will not be excommunicated. Continues the Gemara. Gufa. If somebody does work on Erev Shabbos or Erev Yontov from the time of Mincha, or on Motzah Shabbos, where we know that when Shabbos is over, we should add on some time on Motzah Shabbos that we don't do melachas in respect for Shabbos, that we shouldn't let Shabbos leave at the very first moment, Ubamotzah Shabbos, Ubamotzi Yom Tov, and the same applies to Motzi Yom Tov, Umotzi Yom Kippurim, Motzi Yom Kippur, Ubakol Mokim Shiyeshom Nidnud Aveira, or anywhere where doing work has some trace of an Aveira that it should be avoided, and with Lasuye this includes Tainis Tzibur, on a day where the public have decreed a fast day, a Tainis Tzibur, that one should not work, and if somebody does work on any of these days, Einoy Roeh Siman Brocha, he's not going to see any bracha in his work. Continues the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanon. Yesh Zoriz, there's somebody who's very meticulous and somebody who's working and active, v'niskar, and gets rewarded. V'yesh Zoriz, and you have this meticulous person, v'nifsad, and he loses, he doesn't get rewarded. He loses from it. Yesh Shofel v'niskar, you have a lazy person who gains, who's rewarded, v'yesh Shofel v'nifsad, and you have a lazy person who loses. Now the Bryce is going to explain. Zoriz v'niskar, where do you find a meticulous person who gets rewarded? The Ovid Kulashaito, somebody who works the whole week, he's a Zoriz, he's very meticulous. V'loy Ovid b'mayle Shabsa, but on Erev Shabbos, he doesn't work. The time that he's not supposed to work, he doesn't work on Erev Shabbos. Then he's getting rewarded for not working on Erev Shabbos, and he was a Zoriz the whole week, he was meticulous the whole week to work. That's a Zoriz v'niskar. Zoriz v'nifsad. What's a meticulous person that loses? David kulashab shabsa. He's working the whole week. He's a Zoriz. He's meticulous. He's working. V'ovid b'mayle shabsa. And he also works on Erev Shabbos. He's not going to see any blessing from the work he does on Erev Shabbos. That's the nifsad. Shofil v'niskar. Where do you find a lazy person that gains? Deloy ovid kulashaita. He's lazy. Kulashabsa. He doesn't work the whole week. He's lazy. V'loy Ovid b'mayle Shabbos. He doesn't work on Friday either. He's going to be rewarded, even though he's not. The reason he's not working is not in respect for Shabbos. Nonetheless, he's going to be rewarded because he's not working on Erev Shabbos. He's doing this mitzvah of respecting Shabbos. Sheloy lishmo. He's not doing it lishmo. He's not doing it for the sake of Shabbos, for the sake of a mitzvah. Nonetheless, he'll get rewarded, as we're about to see. Shafal v'nifsad, where do we have a lazy person that loses? Deloy ovid kula shabsa, the whole week he doesn't work, he's lazy. The ovid b'mayla shabsa, comes Friday and he's working. Here he wakes up, and so this person, he's lazy the whole week, and he's nifsad, and he's not going to see any bracha from what he does on Erev Shabbos. Continues the Gemara, Omarova, hani noshi de mechuza. These women from the place of mechuza, even though the reason that they didn't do work on Erev Shabbos, mishum mefankusa, is because they're very delicate and very finicky and that very, oh, we don't do work, we have slaves and other people to do our work for us. They never worked. They never work. Not the whole week they don't work. They also don't work on Erev Shabbos. Nonetheless, even though the reason they don't work is they're not able to dirty their hands with the work, nonetheless, shofel v'niskar korinanu. They are in that bracket of shofel v'niskar, that they are, like, so to speak, lazy the whole week, and they gain, they are rewarded for not doing the work on Erev Shabbos. Continues the Gemara. Rava Rami, Rava asked an apparent contradiction. Ksiv in one pasuk it says in Tehillim, Ki godil at shomayim chazdecho v'at shechokim amitecho. That Hashem's kindness is so great, it's at shomayim, it's till the sky, goes Hashem's kindness. Ksiv in another pasuk in Tehillim it says, Ki godil me'al shomayim chazdecho v'at shechokim amitecho. That Hashem's kindness is so great, it's even beyond, it's above the shomayim, above the sky. Ha-ketzad, does Hashem's kindness only go till the sky or above the sky? Ha-ketzad, how do we answer this seeming contradiction? Kan ba'oisin lishmo. When you're doing a mitzvah, learning Torah lishmo, for the sake of Torah, for the sake of the mitzvah, with the right intentions, that's when the chesed is above the sky. Kan ba'oisin shaloi lishmo. But the chesed that's limited to the sky, as they say, the sky is the limit, that is only for somebody who's doing Torah or mitzvahs, shaloi lishma, not necessarily with the right intentions. Ukudu Rav Yehuda, as Rav Yehuda said, Domer Rav Yehuda Marav, Lo'oilom yaseik odom b'Torah b'mitzvahs, a person should always be engaged in learning Torah and doing mitzvahs, afal pi shaloi lishma, even if he's not doing it always with the right intentions, shemitoich shaloi lishma, bo lishma, because doing mitzvahs and learning Torah, even for the wrong intentions, at the end it will bring a person to do the Torah and mitzvahs with the right intentions, and therefore he gets rewarded even if it's shaloi lishma. Continues the Gemara, Tonu Rabbanon. Hamatzape, if somebody looks for or depends on his wife, l'schar ishto, on the earnings of his wife, very chaim, or the income from the mill, in a reya simen bracha la'olam, he's not going to see blessing in that type of work. Why? Schar ishtoi, what type of earnings of his wife is he not going to see bracha? Mitkulta, is if she's going around the marketplace with the scales and she's hiring the scales for people to use. And it's very mizbaza. She's getting humiliated having to go around the marketplace with these scales, hiring it to people, and she's making very little income from that. So the relative little income and at the expense of embarrassing his wife, that's not a siman bracha. Reichayo, what is it about the earnings of a mill that a person will not see blessing? It's talking about agarta. For somebody who has to go through the tremendous effort of carrying these grinding stones in the marketplace, hiring them for people to use. And here again, the reward, the earnings are relatively small and do not justify the amount of effort it takes to do that. And therefore, there's no bracha there. Aval ovda umazavna. However, if she works, a woman that works and makes something and sells what she makes, that's ishtabuche mishtabich bokra. The pasuk actually praises such a woman. The chsiva that says in the pasuk, sodin osasa, that in Eishes Chayil, which is full of praise for the woman, it says that she makes a cloak, vatimker, and she sells it, and it's part of her praises. And that's okay, because there she's making a decent profit relative to the work she put into it. But the Schar Ishtoi V'Rechaim, that's not going to see any bracha. Rashi adds, for somebody who is selling millstones, that's like any other business, that's okay. But to go around the marketplace hiring out the millstones, that is a very lot of effort and not very much reward, and there's no blessing in that. Continues the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanon. Hamistakir, if somebody is trying to make a profit, bekonim, from selling reeds, or bekankanim, or selling jugs, einereya simon bracha la'olam, he's not going to see blessing in that work. My time, why? Kiven denofish apochzaihu, since they are very bulky, and there's large quantities, that means reeds and jugs take up a lot of space. Everybody's going to notice that you're going around with lots and lots of reeds, or lots of big bulk of jugs. Shaltabu Aina, and since it's so bulky, the evil eye can affect it. Continues the Gemara Tanu Rabbonon. Tagre, the peddlers, simta, that are peddling in the public alleyways. Umagadle behimadaka, those that raise the small animals. Vekoitze ilonis toivois, and those that are cutting down good trees. And those people who every time they're in a partnership and they divide what they have with their partners, they always make sure to take the good portion for themselves. All these people, they will not see any blessing with this work. My tama. The reason is the tov beincha is because people wonder about the way that the money is being made, and an evil eye will set on them. Continues the Gemara, Tonu Rabbonon, Dalad Prutois, there are four types of monies. A Pruto is the smallest coin that we give any significance to, and there's four different types of income that Ein Bohem Siman Bracha La'olam, that these people will not see major blessing with their income. Schar Kosvim, the reward or the money that is earned by the scribes. Beschar Maturgumonim, and the interpreters, those that on Shabbos, they listen to the drosha of the Rav, and they say it over to the public, and they get paid. Uschar Yesoimim, and the reward that people get for taking care of orphans' possessions. Umois Abois Mimedina Sayom, and money that comes, earnings that come from across the sea, somebody who sends his ships to faraway lands in the hope that the ships will come back with a profit. And the Gemara now explains, Bishlay Muschar Maturgumonin. We can understand why the people whom their earnings are from being interpreters, we can understand why there's no blessing there. Bishum de Merzik Kaschar Shabbos, it looks like they're being rewarded for working on Shabbos. And no blessing comes from work that's done on Shabbos. Umois Yesoimim, Nami, Lav B'nei Mechila Ninhu. The exorbitant amounts that some of these people took for taking care of the possessions of the orphans are so great that they're only getting out of not being called thieves if the Yesoimim, if the orphans, can actually be Meichel. But these Yesoimim, they're too young to be Meichel, they're minors, so they cannot be Meichel. And therefore, they're bordering on stealing money from the orphans. And there's no blessing in that. Mois habois min medinas hayom. And money, the person's earnings that come from faraway lands, mishum delav kol yoimim misrachish nisa. There's not that much blessing there, because not every day a miracle happens that these boats should actually survive those long journeys and come back with a profit. There's a good chance that those boats will not survive and he'll lose everything he's earned. So there's not much blessing there. Eloshtar koisvin maitama. But what's the reason that scribes should not see blessing in the parnosa they're making? Omer Bishua ben Levi, Chof Dalet Tainyes Yoshvu Anshe Knesset Agdeila. The Anshe Knesset Agdeila, they fasted 24 fasts, Al Koisve Sforim Tfilin and Mezuzois, that the scribes who are writing Sefer Torah, Tfilin and Mezuzois, Shalois Ashru, that they shouldn't become rich. She'ilu Mis Ashrin, because if they were to become rich, Ein Koisvin, they would stop writing, and then these things, the Sefer Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzos, will no longer be available. In order to make sure that they will constantly be available, they fasted that these people should not see it blessing. That means they should not become rich from the money that they make. Continues the Gemara, Tonu Rabbonon. Koisvei Sforim Tefillin and Mezuzos. The scribes of Sefer Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzos, Hein v'Tagrein v'Tagri-Tagrein, those that write it, those that buy from them, the wholesalers and the retailers, and all the different stages of selling of these Sefer Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzos, v'chol ha'oiskin b'meleches shamayim, and anybody who is engaged in what we call meleches shamayim, in holy work. La'asuye, this includes moichre tcheles, those that sell the tcheles used for the tzitzis. The tcheles is a bluish type of color for the tzitzis. Einon roin simon bracha la'olam, they will not see blessing with what the money they're making, for the same reason we saw before, because if they become rich, they'll stop engaging in this work and people won't have these mitzvahs available to them. V'moiskin nishma, however, if they are engaged in this work, l'shem shamayim, that the mitzvahs should be available, roin, then they do see blessings and they can become rich, because even if they were to become rich, they're doing it for the sake of the mitzvahs being available and not for the sake just of making money, and therefore they will not stop on their mission just because they've made their money. Continues the Gemara, Bnei Baishon, the people from the place of Baishon, Nohug Dolehava Ozlin, Mitzur Letzidoin. In Tzidoin, the day of the sales in the marketplace was on Friday, and the distance from Tzur to Tzidoin is not very far. However, the place of Bnei Baishon, the people of Bnei Baishon, they would not go from Tzur to Tzidoin, B'mayle Shabsa, on Erev Shabbos, to go to the sales. Also Benayu, the children of those people, Kameid Rav Yechanon, came to Rav Yechanon. Omru lo, they said to Rav Yechanon, Avosin, our fathers, they were quite wealthy. Efsheluhu, they were able to buy the merchandise and whatever they were selling, even if they wouldn't go to the sales. And none but us, we don't have that much money. Lo Efshelon, what can we do? We need to resort to those sales on Erev Shabbos in order to be able to buy cheap and sell at a profit. And there was nothing really halachically wrong, but since it was a custom that their fathers had undertaken to not to travel on Erev Shabbos, are we allowed to travel? Are we not allowed to? Omar Luhu, Rabbi Yechanon said to these children of the Bnei Baishan, your fathers already accepted upon themselves the custom not to travel on Erev Shabbos, and so the same applies to you. Shenemar, as it says in the Pasuk, Shma bni Musar, Avicha, listen to the Musar of your fathers, Valtitoish, and do not abandon Torah Simecha, the Torah of your mothers. If your parents have undertaken this custom, a very positive custom, then it's incumbent upon you to continue that, and you should avoid going to the sales on Erev Shabbos. And in Yirtzeh Hashem, in the next year, we're going to continue from here.